Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How many of you today you stand in need of a healing? Okay, if you can, stand up. But I'm sorry? Yeah, if you want somebody else to be healed, go lay hands on them. Yeah, stand up. All right. Look, see, religion will struggle with the supernatural because they can't explain it. And a lot of times it is viewed as, since you don't see it as much happening, it's viewed as it doesn't happen today. So when the, you know, but, and I've spoken to some people about that very thing, about the supernatural, the healings and the thing, the deliverances that God does supernaturally. And they really do struggle with it. They struggle with miracles. And I asked them the question, I said, well, do you struggle with it when you need one? And it got a little silent, you know. But here's the thing about it. Miracles are welcome here. Signs and wonders are welcome here. It bothers some people for that to be said and for that to be known and for that to be active. If you're one of those, I just challenge you to we can't explain how God does it. We just know he does it. But when you hear testimonies like this about God healing people and setting them free, the reality speaks for itself. And we need to be people that are not following signs and wonders, because Jesus says don't do that. So we don't say, oh, that, let's follow this thing, let's follow this. No. Signs and wonders are to follow us. So I want you to, you that are standing, I want you to say, signs and wonders follow me. And then over, you know, the Bible talks about that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, let me ask you this. Is today one of those days? Okay. When testimonies are given, you know, it opens the door. See, because when you testify, you're testifying of what Jesus has done for you, the payment that he's made for you. You're giving a testimony of that. See, it's the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. Not the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. No, it's backwards. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the spirit of prophecy, when you give testimony, when people are giving testimony about how God has healed them, that they couldn't be healed themselves, and the doctors couldn't heal them, but yet they're healed. So that's a testimony of Jesus Christ. So when a testimony of Jesus is given, it brings the spirit. It is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the spirit of prophecy is pungent now in the supernatural here to do it again. To do it again. To do it for you, each one of you that are standing up. So you've heard the testimonies about how Jesus healed these three people. So in the atmosphere, it's released about Jesus' healing. And not only that, we've shared in communion. So when all of this is happening, the atmosphere is set for prophecy to to say it forth, to bring it forth. In other words, your healing is not brought forth, so it's staged now for your healing to come forth. Because the spirit of prophecy is active, activated. What we have to do is just say, I receive it. See, it's yours. It's mine. It's yours. It's all of ours to be able to walk in, to be able to live in. Because that's how much he loves us. Amen. So I want somebody to be in agreement. If you don't mind, just stand up and just lay your hand on their back somewhere. Just lay. And here's the thing about it. You know, God heals in a lot of different ways. He's not just, you know, it has to be just this way. No, he heals in a lot of different ways. Jesus healed in a lot of different ways when he was walking the earth. So if you're standing, I want to make sure somebody is in agreement. See, because that's another passage that says if you're in agreement, so just two, three, if you're in agreement with God and agreeing that people will be healed, that the Father in heaven answers those prayers, answers that agreement. Well, let me ask you this question. Does God lie? Okay, so is it, what I'm telling you, is it the truth? Okay, so we need to walk, we need to step right into this truth about being healed. Step right into it. Are you standing for healing? Let's finish this. Okay. So here we are standing on the brink of experienced healing. See, I'm ready for the explosion of the miracles to happen now. It will draw people. I'm telling you, miracles, that's the reason thousands follow Jesus. It draws people to be able to hear, to see, and to hear, and to hope something happens with them. So the supernatural is what God uses in a lot of ways to draw people to him. So you're standing here today in need of healing, so the person that's laying hands on them would just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing now in Jesus' name. It's yours. It's yours. He paid for it. Now receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen means so be it. Let it be so. Okay? How long is it? How long? Yeah. Amen. He's being prayed for. Just continue on. Go ahead.
Had a woman come in with about a 2.5-year-old, and she asked me, because I was wrapping seafood, she asked me, do you remember me? And I said, no, really, I don't. I talk to everybody that comes through, and most of them about God. And she said, well, that was in a couple weeks ago, and you prayed over my son. And I said, well, what did I pray over him for? And she said, well, he had been playing and taking a nasty fall and had a bad bump and a bad bruise on his head. And I told her, I said, I remember that. We were down one of the aisles and you had your husband with you. She said, yeah. She said, I just want you to know that as soon as I got home, I plastered it all over Facebook. And I scratched my head wondering, plastered all over Facebook that I prayed over her kid in Ingles, you know. I said, what did you pray or plaster all over Facebook? She said, as soon as I got home, I plastered it that before we were out of the store, the bump and the bruise were gone.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about love came down. I want you to go to First John chapter 4. It's not going to be your traditional reading of the passage of where the star was seen, the shepherds came, the wise men came, and the manger scene. It's not going to be about that. We all know about that. But it is going to be about his birth. But I want you to understand today that our ability to love people, to love ourselves, and even to love God is all but disastrous without him. It's all a futile attempt to be able to express a love, but that love that we express is not the love that he came to give us. A lot of times we say, well, what is love? We have a love for food, music, dog, cars, pizza, school. Who put school up there? I said, we love school, God, you, your wife, your husband. Every once in a while, you love your pastor when he's good. Clothes, we can love clothes, and you love our job. We can put love to all of that. But see, all of that is good. There's nothing wrong with it, but it is not what Jesus came to give you. Because when you look at this thing about love, others, when you look at this thing about love, there's four words for love. One is storge. It is a natural affection. It's like a mother has for children. And that's in the Greek. It's a storge love. It is a natural affection. That's what Romans did not have. They had exactly opposite of this in Romans chapter 1, because they had an unnatural affection, men with men and women with women. That is unnatural. Let me say it louder. That is unnatural. That is not God's way. God is against that act. Not against the people, but it's against that act. Society would want to tell you that, no, you know, you got to love everybody. That's not love. That's not the love he came to give you. But see, that's an unnatural love. But see, this storge is having a natural. Did that somebody say something? No. This thing about storge is having a natural affection that is God-given, but it's not agape. See, this is like a mother nurturing, but yet this natural affection has a hook. It has a hook. In other words, I'm giving it because I'm wanting something back. I'm wanting the child to behave. The next one is phileo, which is a tender affection, brotherly love. It's a fatherly way. Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia is like the city of brotherly love, supposedly. But once again, this too starts out right, but it ends with a hook because it has a condition to it. Like, you be nice to me and I will be nice to you. You be kind to me and I will be kind. You be unkind to me, then more than likely I'll be unkind to you. If it's this love. Because it has a hook. The next one is eros. It means self-centered, self-pleasing, to acquire or to gain possession of. It's where we get the word erotic. This one doesn't even start out straight. This one's crooked from the beginning. This one has a hook in it. I'm only going to be nice to you. I'm only going to treat you a certain way because I want one thing from you. Take a deep breath. We're going to get through this. We really will. But see, this is another love that is there, but you're only doing things in order to get something. Once again, that love was already here on this earth. Phileo was already here on this earth. Storge was already here on this earth. But when love came down, it came down in the form of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. And when he came because he was sent, because the Bible says over in 1 John 4 that God is love. That's not all he is. God is just. God is merciful. But God is love. But he is love. You talk about love, you talk about God. But see, this kind of love, when it comes in the form of Jesus. It comes when Jesus came to the earth. God demonstrated his love toward us when Jesus came. Because he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that said that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. So he gave. His love was demonstrated. His love was poured out on you and I. That's his love. But see, his love was not eros. His love was not storge. His love was not just a brotherly love. When he talked to Peter on the shore, he said, Peter, after his resurrection, and Peter had already betrayed him, and they was back fishing. And Jesus came to the shore and he said, Peter, when Peter, he couldn't get out of the boat quick enough to get to him because he had messed up so bad in betraying him. So when he got there, he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? His word was, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? That's the word that Jesus is using. His response, Peter's response was, Lord, you know I phileo you. You know I have a brotherly love for you. And he asked him again, he said, Peter, do you agape me? See, this thing about agape is the part where Jesus came down to give us agape, to give us an unconditional, absolute, deliberate, without reservation. No matter what somebody does to us, no matter what, agape is still going forward with no hook. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I just want to love you. That's the reason that the world, when it tastes religion, it despises it most of the time. The reason being is because they get used. Sometimes they're just another person to sit in the pew. They're just another person that we need your money. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but that does happen with religion. But see, agape keeps on giving no matter how it's treated. Everybody say amen. No matter how it's treated, agape keeps going straight. It doesn't bend. And that's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to straighten out all of our hooks that we have going. He wants to straighten all of them out by perfecting agape, by perfecting love inside us. Don't get anything out of this? But see, this is why he came. He came to demonstrate love. See, he came, he was born. Physically, as a man. He was born as a man, but yet he was the Son of God, and he became the Son of Man. See, he was born in the flesh so you and I could be born again by the Spirit. He made a way for that. That's the reason we are born again. If we're not born again, we're not his, and he didn't dwell in us. That's when you can't just recite something. You can't just go through the motions of religion and say you're a genuine Christian. That's not true. It's not true. Or, I haven't missed a Sunday in 20 years. Neither has the enemy. He hadn't missed a Sunday showing up to try to irritate you, try to keep you from going to church, try to stop you from doing the thing. He don't listen. Bob Jones said, he said, I'm telling you, son, where you're going, the religious spirit will not be able to hang around. So you just know that when you head in truth and you keep going in truth without any bends in it, when you go in the truth, you're going to make some people mad and they're not going to hang around. He said, but don't turn around to see who it is. Just keep on going. Just keep going. Keep going straight. Keep giving them the truth and keep loving the people. Religion won't be able to handle it. Religion wants to control. Anyway, it's not about religion. It's about love. So we look at this about him coming in love. Agape in Romans 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. See, our human love can never do this for long. I can be kind for a little bit, right, on my own. But on my own, don't cross people. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. But see, but this is not God. This is God's way. See, God, agape handles this. God, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. You ever been around an arrogant person? Have you ever been an arrogant person? Been around an arrogant person? They're just bragging all down about what they've, you know, a one-upper. You been around a one-upper? No matter what you say, they got one better. You say something else, and I got another one better than that. You know, that's not love. Why? Because you can't celebrate somebody else having something that maybe you haven't accomplished or you don't have. Are y'all with me? See, this is the bare facts of living out the love factor, the love that God has given us. And this thing about agape, it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. David asked all the 300 guys that came, all the warriors, you know the first question he asked them? Does anybody know? Why are you here? That's a great question. Why are you here? What do you want to know? What's their agenda? Why are you here? Some people need to answer that question. Why am I here? See, we don't need to seek our own. You know, I'm not going to do anything unless it benefits me. That's seeking my own. Once again, that has a hook. This one doesn't. Agape doesn't have the hook. Love is not provoked. Does not take into account the wrong suffered. You know what that means? Throw away your list. Everybody say, uh-oh. Throw away your list. The list of all the wrongs that this person or this person has done, this person, that they did this and this. I remember when they did this, and I remember when they did that, and I remember when they did that. You know, forgiveness does away with it. See, we can't forget it. God forgets it. He didn't ask you and I to forget it. He told us as a command to forgive it. He said, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. That's how you forgive. That's the way we need to forgive. If you're hanging on to this thing because somebody did me wrong, and then actually keeping a list of, well, you just wait. You just wait. I'll have my day. See, that's not agape. The world's full of that kind of love. But love came down. And he said, this agape does not rejoice in unrighteousness. You see something that's unrighteous, do you rejoice? Agape doesn't rejoice or get happy in unrighteousness. But it rejoices in the truth. How many of you in this house, under my voice, truth came to you and it hurt? Wave your hand at me. Sometimes it is the most painful thing you can hear, but it's the most freeing thing that you can hear. When you got somebody that can tell you the truth and tell it that way, and they're a friend of yours, you better hang on to them and never lose them. Because a true friend, the Bible says, loveth at all times. All times. And it says, painful are the what? Said out loud. The wounds of a friend. Okay. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It never fails. Love never fails. Love came down. He was born of a man. Born a man. Born of a woman. And by the way, she was a virgin. The virgin is a virgin birth is it's an absolute. It is a miracle, right? But you know where the miracle started? Conception. The miracle of conception. She'd never been with a man, and yet she is with child. That's the miracle. Now, yeah, she had the baby, she was a virgin. She'd never been with a man, and yet she's pregnant. She was carrying truth. Knowing that the custom of that day, if she has committed adultery and it's exposed, the stoning would happen. She's carrying truth. See, the thing is, do we carry the truth? Do we really carry love? Are we really carrying agape? So it's unconditional, but it keeps going. But see, the Bible says, I've given you some scriptures. This thing, I don't have time to go into all of it. I probably going to save it for another time. But it says that our love is perfected. By this, our love is perfected. That's in verse 18. There is no fear. He said, by this, love is perfected with us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. So if you're in this world and you're born again, you're of him and he's of you. He's in you. That he's perfect. See, this thing about perfecting is difficult. Say amen. Amen. It's the truth. But he's still going to perfect the love that he's given you. It's a perfect love that he gave you. But he's going to mature you. He's going to perfect you in it. Because he says perfect love, when this love has been perfected, it casts out what? All fear. What will you be afraid of? What will you be afraid of? Nothing. What man can do to you, what anybody can do, you'll be afraid of nothing. Well, because love has been perfected. So this thing about perfected love, and he's perfecting the agape that's already perfect in you. But he's going to perfect your soul. He's going to perfect how it works in your body. How you respond, how you act, how you do things without that hook. So the perfecting is bending that hook out of us in order for our love to be able to go in straight regardless of how anybody treats us. It's this thing about perfecting. It's carrying. See, carrying love makes you vulnerable, yes or no. It made Jesus very vulnerable to come on this earth as love and as a man. Made him vulnerable. And it'll make you vulnerable. Carrying this love will make you vulnerable. You'll be talked about, you'll be judged wrongly, and you'll be criticized. You'll be persecuted. You'll be very vulnerable. Well, I don't want any part of that. Well, you don't want any part of him. Because he says, as they treated me, they will treat you. It'll make you, our love can cause, can be vandalized. What do you mean vandalized? In other words, vandalism is to deliberately try to destroy or damage. In other words, it is a deliberate thing. People will try to do everything they can to destroy you because you love. Why? This is Christmas. We need to hear something that's a lot better than this. No. Listen, this is truth. It's going to set you free. It's going to make you free. If you're already free, it's going to make you free. I want to be encouraged. You are being encouraged. I want to be happy. Well, happy depends upon happenings. Joy doesn't. Okay, I'll get off of that. Our love can be vandalized. Our love can be valued. Do you know that you, all of you that were standing, and as other people hadn't arrived yet, but yet we wanted to include everybody. See, our love compels us to value the people because they need to take communion with us together. And we don't be in a hurry. No, it's not about that. It's about showing value. Why? That's love. Do you think God values people? Absolutely. Why? Because he loves them. That's the reason we showed value to the people that were coming in. We wasn't in a hurry to, let's hurry up and meet. Let's hurry up and get this. And so Paul scolded them for that. Our love can be ridiculed. Our love can be rejected. That's the reason we have to be real secure in the love of God. Because rejection is coming. How many of you have ever been rejected by somebody? And all you did was try to love them and they rejected you. I mean, come on, talk to me. Yeah. I mean, it happens. Why? Because that's the nature of this love. It makes people feel insecure, but yet it will stir in some people's heart because you're loving. It'll stir their heart to be able to pursue this very person that you just loved them with. Shepherds heard about it. What did they say? Let's go. We must see this thing. Why? The love was compelling. A search, a seeking who this king that is a baby. Love can be rejected. Love can be resented. Love can be recognized. And once it's recognized, love can be received. So why would I want to go through all the vandalizing and the vulnerability and all the rejection? Why do I want to go through all that? Right there, there'll be some people that will recognize it and receive it. You don't know which one it is, and neither do I. That's the reason we must keep giving it, keep giving it, keep giving it. Because love came down for us to be able to keep giving it. Love can be rewarded. God will reward your love. You, and he also says this, when you're doing good, when you're loving people, and they mistreat you, because you're doing righteous, do you know the instruction from the Lord? If you're mistreated because you're doing righteously and you're doing what God wants you to do, do you know, and you're persecuted, you're mistreated for it? You know the Bible's instructions? Does anybody know what it is? Say it loud. It says what? It says rejoice. And Lisa's got it right. It's time to let her rip. Not in front of them. You don't have to cut a rug in front of them. You know, you can walk away and get out in the parking lot or wherever it is and you can cut the rug. It means to leap, jump, and shout and just rejoice. But why? Because you're suffering for righteousness' sake. If you get that opportunity, how God views that. He just pours that rejoicing all over you if you just connect with him. Or walk away. You don't walk away saying, well, I ain't gonna do that no more. That didn't go anywhere, man. You said they mistreated me. Then you go back and tell a few more. That's when you sow strife among the brothers and sisters. No, we don't want to go there, do we? No, we shouldn't go there today. So here's the question. We're going to close. Are you demonstrating God's love? Are you demonstrating that love? Are you even carrying that love? Are you demonstrating that love? God's going to give you a lot of opportunities from this moment on. From this very moment, you will have an opportunity to express your love of God to others. They may not like it. They may not want it, but some will seek it because of your love. They'll seek Jesus because of your love for them. Everybody won't. Are you demonstrated? All right, here's the question. Have you conceived? Has the miracle of God's love entered you? Listen, Mary carried Jesus in the natural. We're carrying Jesus spiritually in our spirit, but yet we are the temple of God. I told somebody before, I said, we're arcing God. And they thought I meant lightning, like, I said, no, like carrying the ark. we're arcs carrying God's presence. Ooh, pretty good to me. So are you showing? Is anybody in here with child? I remember, I'm going to tell it. I remember it was on a Wednesday night. Gina Wilson was with child, with Haven. And she was out there pretty good, and we were doing a thing on Wednesday night with the kids and telling them the Christmas story. And I wanted an example for the kids, and I looked over that way and I said, Gina, come on up here. Well, we got another Gina in the house that's sitting right over there beside Gina Wilson. Let's see. And what is your name again? No, that is the truth. Gina, come on up here and show them how big your belly is. Now, this is Gina, too. And Gina was back, this Gina was back there going, but she didn't see Gina Wilson. Gina Wilson was behind her on that side. So, it's what I do. Oh, she's never let me forget that either. Okay, so are you showing? Is your love showing? Or have you conceived it first, and are you showing? The next thing is, have you delivered? Have you delivered that love yet? Special delivery. Here's another one. Have you nurtured the growing of that love? And have you embraced its perfection? Or are you afraid of it being crucified? Are you afraid of it being? Jesus was crucified. Love, he was driven by love, compelled by love. Yes, the little baby came down to represent and to show us what love's all about. And we have the privilege of being born again to be able to show that same love that he shows. We have the same power of God operating inside us to love people even though they mistreat us. Jesus actually said, what good is it to love those that love you? Heathens do that. So let's stretch beyond where we are and let's grow and let's start allowing God to perfect this love as he puts people around us that are hard to love. That's the perfecting of it. And he's going to perfect your love, our love, my love for everybody. He's going to perfect it. All we got to do is just walk with him. And when we make a mistake, he's there to help us and pick us up. Said, okay, come on. He doesn't judge us. He's already judged the sin. Taking it away. Did you get anything out of this? I'm going to say Merry Christmas. Let's stand to our feet. Okay. Pastor John's already given an altar call. If you need prayer, you can certainly come up and we can pray for you. But is there a song we can end with, Charlie? Pastor, come on up and... Oh, come all you faithful. Who said that? Oh, Lisa said that. Oh, come. Are you coming for prayer? She coming for prayer? Pastor John, will you come up? Amen. Anybody else want to come up for prayer? Okay. Do you have Oh, Come All You Faithful? Do you guys have it up there? Got it? Thumbs up. I tell you, our media team is on spot. All right. This will be our closing. Anybody else wants prayer? I want you to come up. And I need some prayer workers here. Brenda, you'll come up.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Rise, the Lord. Sing choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation.
Today. It is Bobble. Bobble is a service dog, and Bobble is with us up front. So let's welcome Bobble. Hey, Bobble. God bless you guys. You're free to go. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.